Hello and welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Sometimes sermons have unusual titles. Here's one entitled El Dad and Me Dad. These two guys in the Bible, unique names, I guess are unique because you have to unique up on them, but El Dad and Me Dad. They were not only had unusual names, something happened to them that is considered unusual, but it shouldn't be unusual because it's part of the Christian life. And what happened to them is a foretaste of the new covenant that was coming, which we're now living in. Every believer can be a part of what happened to them. Every believer can be a part of what happened in their life. Their names, Eldad and Medad, have the meaning of love. Eldad means God loves, and Medad means love. Gives us the idea that he is just one of the many people on earth whom God loves. The song said, I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Just little old me. Jesus loves me. And he loves you. And you're loved with an everlasting love. If you're here today and you feel discouraged, just know that you're loved with an everlasting love. And he loves all of us alike. He loves all of us the same. Even those who cannot experience the love because they're not in a relationship with God like he wants them to be, but he still loves them anyway. He loves the Adolf Hitlers. He loves the Mussolinis. He loves the Jack the Drifters. He loves those who are the Boston Stranglers, no matter how bad in life. If you consider yourself a Ted Bundy or whatever kind of Bonnie and Clyde, no matter what it is, who it is, God loves you no matter what you've done. Because he loved you before the foundation of the world. So he couldn't go by what you was going to do, whether he loved you or not. He already loved you before the foundation of the world. And what you did was an afterthought. That was a result. That came after. Even Jesus going to the cross, well, he did that before any of us were thought about, any of us were born. And he loved us with that everlasting love. The people of Israel, they were complaining. They were bellyaching, moaning and groaning, crying, and complaining before Moses, before God. We don't have meat to eat. We're not satisfied with this manna before our eyes. God had given them everything they needed in this little bitty wafer thing called manna. And in Hebrew it's manhu. It's like, what in the world is this? And that's what the name came from. Manhu, what is this? They didn't know what it was. Sometimes we don't know the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. God has given us all kinds of blessings and we go around saying, manhu, what in the world is this all about? They wondered what the manna was, and they got to the point where they were not satisfied with the manna. And in that little wafer of manna was everything they needed. All the nutrition, all the vitamins, all the minerals, everything they needed was in that little thing. It may not have tasted like T-bone steak, but everything they needed was in there. But they were dissatisfied. Numbers chapter 11, verse 11. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Now Moses starts to pour his heart out before God and tell God exactly how he feels. There's nothing wrong with you telling God exactly how you feel. There's nothing wrong with you asking God a question. There's a big difference between asking God a question and questioning God. It's not right to question God, but there's nothing wrong with asking God a question. Moses had several questions. Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Why have you put this affliction on me? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Lord, I thought you liked me. I thought you loved me. And you're laying the burden of all this people upon me. And he gets a little bit aggravated, sounds like to me, perhaps a little sarcastic. God could have blown him away just like he could blow us away, but he allows us sometimes to complain. He allows us to tell him just like how we feel. Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Lord, do you think it's all my fault? Do you think it's all up to me to carry them like a sucking child? You know how they are, Lord. You hear them belly aching. You hear them complaining. You hear them moaning and groaning. You hear the goo goo ga ga. People in church do the same thing. Wang, wang, wang. I don't like to preach with the white hair. I don't like to preach with the brown shoes. Wang, wang, wang. Ooh, go, go, go. Can't win anybody to God because we never grow up spiritually. Lord have mercy. The sucking child. How can I bear it, Lord? How can I stand it? I cannot bear them to their land which you've given to them because they don't know how to appreciate your blessings. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? How in the world do you think I'm going to feed all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. The thing that comes out in Christian circles sometimes is we ought to be able to muster the strength up. We ought to be able to just get it all together and somehow handle it all. That's not the way it is. We have given people a false notion to think that when you are a mature Christian that you can get to the place where you can handle everything. Well, I don't know anybody like that. The only one I know that can handle anything and everything is God. Amen. He's the only one who can handle everything. And we cannot make people feel like they've got to get to the place where they can handle it on their own. The more that you grow in Christ, the more that you depend on Christ. I know that we could grow up in Him and we don't have to be babied and pampered all the time. But the fact is, we always need Him. We need Him every hour. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. We need Him all the time. And they sung about it. I need Him in the morning, I need Him in the evening, I need Him when the sun goes down, I need Him. You need Him all the time. It's too heavy for me. I cannot bear it myself alone. And He said, if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. I'll tell you what you do, Lord. If this is the way you're going to treat me, just go ahead and kill me right now. That's what it means in our language. Just go ahead and kill me now. If I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Moses pours out his heart to God. The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. God says, give me 70 men. I tell you what you do, Moses. All I'm asking you to do right now is just provide me 70 men. You got all these millions of people. Surely you can give me 70 men whom you know to be the elders and leaders of the people. Give them to me. Bring them down and stand them around the tabernacle and let them be there with you. I just want 70 men. What's the Marine song? We just need a few good men. Well, we need some good men. We need some good women. We need some good young folks who would get a hold to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost get a hold of them. I believe if I had about 75 cents, I could preach right now. Glory to God. Just give me 70 men and let them be there. I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. God's plan of power and provision. God said, I've got a plan. I don't mean, and we say in the country, I don't aim for you to bear all the burden by yourself. Even Paul said in the New Testament, I don't mean that others be eased and you be burdened, but that there be an equality. Everybody's talking about equality now. I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ. The only real problem in this world is people don't know Christ. That's the only real program that has the equality anyway. is Jesus Christ. He treats everybody alike. That is, he treats you like you ought to be treated and better than we ought to be treated. He does not discriminate against you. He does not hold your race or your color or your kind against you. Why would he create you and then hold it against you the way you were created? That's not the God I serve. He said, let them stand there with you, and I will come down, and I will talk with you, and I will take of the Spirit, and I will put it upon them, and they will bear some of the load of the people with you. That's God's plan of power and provision. God has provided for the New Testament church everything that we will ever need. He has made provision for all of our needs, and he certainly provides the power that we can live the Christian life and get the job done. If he provided power for them under the old covenant, I know that he has provided power for us under the new covenant. Say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. You want flesh to eat? You'll have flesh to eat. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Don't get to the place like Israel, where they said, not only who will give us flesh to eat, but it was better for us in Egypt. Now when you think, brothers and sisters, just because we're having a pandemic, just because you may be having a hard time, when you think that it was better with you when you were out there in the world than it is now, you're really in bad shape. The devil done got a hold of you. Amen. Because to bump the King's English a little bit, it ain't better out in the world than it is with God. Your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day in the hell holes in the world of sin. Amen. They said it was better for us in Egypt. They had forgotten it was not better for them in Egypt. They were under heavy burdens and servitude, slavery in Egypt. It was not better for them in Egypt. Even though they didn't have all their needs met, they didn't think they did. They didn't have all their appetites satisfied. But they were free. They were free from Pharaoh and Egyptian bondage. They were in the wilderness. They were free. God was leading them. And now listen what God said. Yeah, you'll eat flesh, but listen, you will eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils. And it shall be loathsome unto you. You want flesh to eat? As we would say in our language, get a belly full of it. Because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Why did I start coming to church? Why did I start trying to serve God? It was better for me when I was out there on the lake every Sunday, worshiping Mother Nature and catching a fish. Fishy, fishy, fishy in the brook. Won't you please bite my pretty hook? When you're up in the house of God, you've been forgiven of your sins, you've been sanctified, you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're going to tell me it was better out there on the blue, blear waters? Ski King was in perfect form, and Daddy-O's in the groove. You thought you had it made. No, we got it made in the shade now in the kingdom of God. All our sins are forgiven. Our past has been erased. We've been saved. We're born again. It's never been better in the kingdom of God than it is now. The kingdom of God and all the fulfillment of God's promises are closer now today than they were yesterday and they've ever been before. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Yeah. We're on the winning side, brothers and sisters. Amen. So you ain't had enough preachers to tell you that you're on the winning side. That's why you got one now to do. Because you're on the winning side. If you've been saved, you've been born again, the rest of it's a piece of cake. Why do we come out of Egypt? God's answer to them was displeasure. He answered them, but the psalmist says in Psalm 78, and you can read it, get you a big full cup of coffee because it's a long psalm, but you read it, Psalm 78, and it says that God gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness into their soul. Yeah. He gave them what they wanted. But it didn't turn out the way they thought. You thought you wanted that big Cadillac. Now you ain't got no shirt to put on your back, cause your big Cadillac done took all your money for gasoline, cause you've been riding around with Maybelline. Hey. You thought you wanted that big house. Now that big house is so big it swallows you up and you can't clean it. You thought you wanted that big hound dog. Now that big hound dog done bit Johnny the neighbor. You done having a lawsuit. You thought you wanted that Michael Kors pocketbook. You got that Michael Kors pocketbook, but you ain't got no money to put in it. I came to preach this morning. Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. Big, stropping soldiers. We ain't even counting the women and children. 600,000 footmen. Thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Did I hear that right, Lord? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Now wait a minute, they got all these cows going around and they said, who will give us flesh to eat, you big dummy? You got cows walking around, why don't you kill some of them and eat them? Well, they did. They had all these cows that they had to take everywhere they moved. They moved the ark out in the wilderness. They moved around in the wilderness. They had to take all these herds and cows with them. Cows, donde está la vaca? Spanish says, where's the beef? Where's the meat? Don't them cows have meat on them? Maybe they didn't have no meat on them because they were starving them to death in the wilderness. I don't know, but you could get a few rib bones and suck on them and do something. Now I understand that Jews, they didn't have no pig, they didn't have no fat back and pork chop and all that. I understand that. But they had some cows, they had some sheep out there. They could get them a meal off of it. I'm going to say something I hope you don't think wrong, because God loves the Indians. He loves the Indian people. We have missionaries in India. But the Indian people are starving to death and they got cows just walking around on the ground. Hello, somebody. I know I'm blind, but I ain't stupid. I mean, you know, some another ain't coming off here to me. If you quit worshiping them four-legged gods and kill one or two of them and get you some beef with steak, you'd be better off. You wouldn't go to bed hungry tonight. God, the real God of heaven that you ain't seen and known yet and heard about yet, he's trying to get you to wake up and have some sense and say, you crying and starving to death for all this food. You got cows walking around with you. Quit worshiping them and start eating them up. Yeah. My grandpa taught me that little thing, eat them up, eat them up, eat them, eat them, eat them up. Shall all these herds and cows be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Moses struggles between faith and the situation of impossibility. All of us as believers have faith. But we, like Moses, struggle between that and the situation of impossibility. It looked like an impossible situation. Moses had rode some rodeos before. But this situation was insurmountable. This situation seemed impossible. The church has been through some fires and through some floods before, but it seems like sometimes that the situations at hand are insurmountable. They're impossible. But nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. All things are possible with my God. The Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? In the Hebrew, that's like, is the Lord's hand suddenly got where it's not able to do anything anymore? Is the Lord's hand short that it can't do anything? Thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not. God challenges him to trust and obey. And in the new covenant, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I know what your word said, Lord, but. No, there's no but. That but cancels out everything. You can't say, well, I know the Bible says this, but. Because when you do, you're putting that but, whatever that is, comes after that, you're putting that to supersede the Word of God. And nothing supersedes the Word of God. The Word of God supersedes everything else. The Word of God is greater than anything else. And it doesn't matter what anything or anybody else says or does. It's what the Word of God says. Now you will see, Moses, whether my word comes to pass to you or not. Moses went out, told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men and the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down. That's that standard Hebrew word for descending or coming down, arad. The Lord came down in a cloud. God comes in a cloud. You better watch out. Something holy and mighty is going to happen. Comes down in the cloud and spoke unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. The spirit begins to rest. Kanoah, when rested, the spirit. Haruah, the Spirit, when the Spirit rested Alehem upon them, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and the King James says, they prophesied and did not cease. And we know that that did not mean that they didn't prophesy for the rest of their life. It just meant that there was a time that they prophesied and did not cease. This looks forward to the New Testament. It looks forward to Pentecost. It's a time when the believer would be sanctified and they would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there would be a time when they would speak in tongues, and a time when they would prophesy, and it would go on for a while. We live in a day now where you just look, look. Oh yeah, you got it. What I'm talking about, you don't know a little bit, a little. What I'm talking about, you don't shake it. It might shake you a little bit, but you don't shake it. What I'm talking about, the real showing up Holy Ghost. When people used to get the Holy Ghost and they talked in tongues for hours, they talked in tongues sometimes for days. That's what our nation needs. That's what our generation needs. That's what the church needs. We don't need no hooped up, souped up new preacher. All we need is the old time power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They prophesied and did not cease. The word is yasaf. It means to add to or to increase, not to do anything else. The idea is they didn't go on doing it forever, but the idea is that they prophesied and it sufficed. They wanted meat. They wanted bread. They were always wanting something. But now that the Spirit is resting upon them, now that they're prophesying, now that they have a fullness of the Spirit, now that they have a purpose in life, now they have what they need to be satisfied. Good God, I reckon. Praise God. What I'm talking about will satisfy your soul. Yes. What I'm talking about, you cannot overcome it by a pandemic. You cannot overcome it by a virus. You cannot overcome it. Even if they kill the body, there's still nothing else they can do. Yes. What I'm talking about will fill you and thrill you, will seal you and build you and everything else. It will do something for you. It will do you good. It will help you when you live it, and it will do you when you die. They prophesied and it satisfied them. Moses obeys. God keeps his word, and the spirit of prophecy manifests. The Spirit says in the last days, God will pour His Spirit out upon all flesh. The sons, the daughters, the servants, the handmaidens, they will prophesy. Yeah. That same thing will happen. And it needs to happen now. Yeah. Our generation that we live in, it shows us that it doesn't matter what the name of your church is. Your church can have a holiness name on it. But that doesn't mean that it's a state of the heart. A person can have the Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. They may not even go to a Pentecostal or a holiness church. But the Holy Ghost, there was a time when the Azusa Street Revival broke out. Catholics were getting the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Methodists were getting the Holy Ghost. Of course, that was back in the time when Methodists believed what Methodists really ought to believe.
Yeah.
They hit this country like a bolt of lightning. And when people preached the Word of God, it wasn't no difference between the Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostal.
Right.
It may be some doctrinal differences, but as far as when you get up there, he preached and God got a hold of him, he got a hold of God, and God got a hold of the people.
Amen.
The spirit of prophecy manifests. There remained two men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other Medad, and the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. I don't know why they didn't go. It doesn't seem to tell me that they were rebellious. They didn't go. Maybe they were like you and I. Don't tell nobody I told you this. But maybe they were like you and I. Maybe they didn't want their name in light. Oh, God help me. Maybe they didn't want their name in flying banners. Maybe they didn't want their name put in the bulletin. They just wanted to serve God.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness? They just wanted to serve God. They just wanted to please God. They didn't want a preacher to call them out. They didn't want recognition. So they stayed in the camp. But the same Holy Ghost was out there with Moses and the elders coming to camp where they were. They prophesied. They prophesied in the camp.
Yeah.
Human imperfection and even resistance does not stop the love of God.
Amen.
There runs a young man, Na'ar, Hebrew. There runs a young man, told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. You wouldn't believe it, Moses. I just come out of there and heard them myself. Nobody had to tell me. I heard them myself. Eldad, Medad. Eldad, Medad. That's Arab, Ahab, Arab, king of burning sand. There's Eldad, Medad. They're prophesying in the camp. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. You got the tattler and the teller. The tattler is that young man. He's going to go and tell Moses what's happening. We got some of them in the church.
Amen.
They call tattlers. Well, I just wanted you to know, in case you hadn't heard, I want to tell you. Don't tell anybody else now. I want to tell you anyway. They done told 50 people before they told you, and then they tell you not to tell nobody else. Paul talked about them. Tattlers. Tattletale, tattletale, hang your britches on a nail. Tattler and the teller. You got the teller. Tell them to stop, Moses. Tell them not to do that. Tell them to do this. Tell them to do that. You got a lot of preachers. They ought not call them preachers. They ought call them tellers. Because they always tell somebody else what to do. Tell somebody what to do. You do this. You do that. Why don't you just praise God and serve God together? You won't have to worry about what somebody else is doing. Moses said unto him, envious thou for my sake? You got a problem with that? Would to God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Joshua, this is what really needs to happen. This is what needs to happen to all the Lord's people. I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. I wish that all the Lord's people had the Holy Ghost and fullness of the Spirit. I wish that all the Lord's people were in praise and worship. I wish that all the Lord's people knew God. I wish that all the Lord's people had the Word of God. I wish that all the Lord's people knew what it was to have the joy of their salvation.
Yeah.
And more than just religion. Bug them, you have salvation to bless you.
Yeah.
I wish that all of God's people were prophets and the Spirit of God. He wasn't talking about the office of prophet. He was talking about prophesying. I wish that all of God's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And it happened on the day of Pentecost. And it's been happening ever since then. And the Lord is still pouring out his Spirit. Did God stop pouring out his Spirit after the day of Pentecost? Did he stop pouring out his Spirit after Azusa Street? Did he stop pouring out his Spirit after the 1970s, the charismatic movement? Did he stop pouring out his Spirit after the Brownsville revival? Did he stop pouring out his Spirit when 2000 came? No, God is still pouring out of his Spirit upon all flesh. Problem is not the poor. The problem is we're not under the spout where the glory comes out.
That's right.
God's still pouring. But somebody's got to receive. This is the desire for universal fullness of blessing. I want all of God's people to be blessed. I want all of God's people. Never mind a title. Who cares whether you're a deacon? Who cares whether you're a counselor? Who cares whether you're an elder? Who cares whether you're a pastor? Who cares? As long as you're a brother or sister, that's what you care about.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say these signs would follow the bishops. These signs will follow those on the elder board. These signs will follow the admin council. Jesus didn't say these signs will follow those who the preacher likes. Lord have mercy. Jesus said these signs will follow them who believe.
Yes.
That's what his qualification is.
Yes.
If you're a believer, you got a right to speak in tongues. You got a right to cast out devils. You got a right to pray for the sick.
Yeah.
When you go on your way every day, and I know what time we're living in, pandemic and all that. So there used to be a time when the church raised the dead. Now we run from a little flu bug. I'm not being critical and all that. I got my mask too. Problem is, I had mine before the pandemic came because I'm so ugly. I'm a member of the ugly club. I got proof in my pocket to prove it. Card says I'm a member of the ugly club. One of the most ugliest men in the United States of America. Somebody read me that card and that's what it said. I've kept it. I got proof. I'm even ugly. Ugly is 5 miles past ugly. I got all kind of problems. But he said, I want God's people to prophesy. I want the Spirit of God to be on them. And you know what it is? He is. He's upon us. Jesus said you'll receive power. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Church used to raise the dead. Used to cast out demons. Used to heal the sick. There's nothing wrong with you if you go on your daily way and you find someone who is sick. You can say to them, look, I'm not going to make a scene. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I just want you to allow me to pray. Would it be all right if I just said a prayer for you? And you might tell them, well, this prayer is a little different than what you've heard. A lot of prayers you've heard, you cry and beg God to do something he's already promised to do. I'm just going to simply touch you if you're comfortable with that. And I'm going to ask God to just complete your healing. I'm going to thank God for it right now. I'm just going to praise God. And you agree with that person, and you pray a simple prayer of faith for that person, and you expect God to keep his word. Don't have to stay around and eat chicken. Don't have to take up an offering. You just go on your way. Say, thank you, Lord, for using me today. There's nothing wrong with you doing that. I don't care if you don't have no name in the church. If you're a believer, Jesus said these signs will follow them who believe. You got a right, a Calvary right. I ain't talking about no race right. I ain't talking about no political right or anything like that. I'm talking about a born again Calvary purchase right.
Amen.
Jesus said you've got a right to do that. In fact, he said that's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow them that believe. And he gives us the signs. Speak with new tongues, take up serpents, cast out demons, drink any deadly thing when I hurt them, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And it said, after the Lord had spoken to this unto them, he was taken up and the cloud received him out of their sight. That's all he had to say. Now it's up to us to reach this world for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Show the devil that he's a hell-going devil, that he's a liar. He doesn't have the church in bondage. Jesus said, I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We start believing the word of God that we read and start acting in faith. God will again do what he did in the 1900s. He will again do what he did in the early church. He will again do what he did in the latter days as he's done it. He will do it again.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the opportunity. These two men, Eldad and Medad, what a wonderful word that you have brought to us today out of just two simple men in the Bible who became mighty and they prophesied. They were not around the tabernacle. They were in the camp. It proves to us we don't have to be in a certain building. We don't have to be in a certain class. We don't have to be a certain board. We can be wherever God wants us to be, and His Spirit can come upon us, and we can prophesy. We can do great and mighty things for God. I pray that would be the case in every one of our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to have you listening to the old-time preaching from God's Word for a new generation. This sermon has been entitled, Eldad and Medad. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.